Good morning. I join in with Keith from the opening announcement, so welcome everybody here this morning. It is a good crowd of folks that we have, and you are certainly welcome in every way as we worship God here. We've got a lot of visitors with us this morning. We want to thank you for being here, and we want to let you know you're welcome to be here and to worship with us at any time and on any opportunity that you may have, and we certainly would invite you to be back with us at any of those times. We're going to spend a few minutes in study this morning, and we're going to do so by kind of springboarding off of a passage, or certainly a line, whether or not you knew exactly in the Bible where it was, but certainly a phrase or almost even a cliche in some categories from people. That's something that a lot of people are familiar with, and whether they know it's in the Bible or not, the idea that, you know, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character, or, you know, rendered as we saw here just a moment, as was read for us just a moment ago. You know, it is this idea that we put into our mind that, listen, if we surround ourselves with terrible people, we're going to be apt to do terrible things, that we're going to be influenced by those folks. And so we often will use this when we're talking to young people especially, and we make the point that, listen, you need to be very careful about the people that you choose to be around, or the people that you choose to associate with, or the people that you choose to spend all your time with, because those people will have a strong influence on you. And we can stand back from that, and we can try to justify it in lots of different ways, and we can say, well, that may generally be the case, but it's not going to be the case for me, or, you know, for the weak people, they really struggle with that, but I'm so much stronger, and I can withstand those evil influences. I mean, we can justify it in so many different ways, but it does not change the reality of it. Even as the Apostle Paul gives us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, don't be misled. Don't be deceived by that. It is a reality. And it is a reality for our young folks, and we need to be considering that. But it is a reality for each and every one of us here. The people that we choose to surround ourselves with, those people will have an influence on us. So what's driving those decisions? What's driving those decisions? We're going to make the point a little bit later, but I'll kind of open the door to it right now. Ultimately, I choose who I'm going to be around. I choose that. No one chooses that for me. No one forces me in to a group of people. No one forces me in where I cannot walk away or to get out. That just simply does not happen. I choose. I have 100% of the power when it comes to who I'm going to spend my time with. I choose that. And it's something that we've got to put into our mind, because I think we get ourselves in situations sometimes where we think, man, I'm kind of locked into this group, or I'm locked into this situation. And don't you ever think you're locked into that. We have the power to choose who we spend our time with. And so ultimately this morning, for a few minutes, I want to direct our attention and our minds to thinking about that. How do I make that choice? How do I make the choice when it comes to the people that I'm going to be with and to spend my time with? In the book of Proverbs, we're going to spend some time in the book of Proverbs this morning, because I think ultimately, biblically, this point is made over and over. I mean, we can go back to the pages of the Old Testament and we can see stories like Rehoboam, who surrounded himself with people who were selfish, people who were yes men. He sought counsel from those people and the destruction that it brought on because of that. We can go to stories like Jesus tells in the pages of the New Testament about a son of a father who runs away and surrounds himself with people that are full of uncleanness and wickedness and debauchery, and he gets himself wrapped up into all of that and ultimately has to come crawling back home to his father. I mean, there are stories all over the pages of God's Word that makes this point. And I want to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. Because in Proverbs chapter 1, I mean, we're barely into the book about wisdom, a book about making good choices, about making and going the right way, a book full of this is the wise thing, this is the foolish thing. And the book at the very outset dives deep into this idea. I want you to read with me Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse 10. Listen to what the wise writer says about the people that we surround ourselves with. In verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives, and so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." This passage, I mean, nearly at the very outset of the book of Proverbs, talks exclusively about the dangers of surrounding ourselves with the wrong kinds of people. Now, while this example here, I think, is specifically about murder and robbery, the same basic applications are there. Think about what's said just in this verse, in this passage. Verse 10, don't consent to their counsel. Verses 11 and 12 talks about them enticing to do us evil. Verses 13 and 14, the temptation with easy gain. Verses 15 and 16, the admonition not to walk with them. Verse 17, the reminder that their efforts are vain or empty. And ultimately, in verses 18 and 19, they will pay for their deeds. The point is made that this kind of person, this kind of group, operates on a level that God's people needs not to be around. And so what's the answer? Well, the answer is given to us in a couple of different ways. At the very outset in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." You know, it's interesting here in the book of Proverbs how it begins with this idea of we've got to be careful about the people that we surround ourselves with. Another book of poetry that sits right next to this one, the book of Psalms. And we often make reference to the book of Psalms, and each psalm is kind of its own deal for sure. But the very outset of that book, Psalm 1 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." And that's 1:1 of the book of Psalms. And you have here in the book of Proverbs, right at the very outset, "If sinners entice you, don't consent to that." Verse 15 specifically, "My son, do not walk in the way with them." And so we have this given to us in Proverbs chapter 1. We have what's given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this idea that we need not to surround ourselves with people who are of the world, with people who have wicked intentions. We can't surround ourselves with those kinds of people, because if we do, we will be influenced by that. We will be influenced by that. But this morning, for a few minutes, I don't want to spend so much time on that. I want just for a couple of minutes to flip that coin over. And I want to remind us that, yeah, we do have the power to choose who we're going to spend our time with. And we need not to be choosing the people of evil intent. But yet, we've got to choose somebody. We can't walk through this world all by ourselves. God didn't intend for that even to be the case. So there is a hole. If we're not going to fill it with these evil kind of folks, there still is a hole there. And so we've got to think about how it is we're going to fill that hole. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." As important as it is to recognize the dangers of surrounding ourselves with the wrong kinds of people, as important as that point is, just as important is it for us to recognize how important it is to surround ourselves with righteous people. We make the point when it comes to not surrounding ourselves, and we make that point so often with the young folk, because the point is, the earlier that we can get that under control, the better. I mean, the earlier. When we're in school, when we're surrounded by those folks, whether it's in elementary school even, or middle school, or high school, we make that point over and over and over again, because the earlier that we can get a handle on that idea, the better it's going to be as you move forward in life. But again, the flip side of that is still the same. The earlier that we can recognize the importance of surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people, the better. The earlier that we can recognize, even from early on, elementary, middle school, junior high, whatever the case may be, the earlier that we can understand the importance of, yes, surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people, the better. Because we ultimately need each other. We're going to be influenced by the people we surround ourselves with. So am I going to choose to surround myself with people who will influence me for evil? Or will I choose to surround myself with people who will influence me for good? What kind of choice will I make? As a parent, what kind of choices will I make for my children? Do I talk about these kinds of things? Do I build in our calendar opportunities for them to be surrounded by good, righteous people? Do I make it an important part of our everyday conversation? Do I make it an important part of our everyday scheduling? How important is it? Well, it's either we're going to be influenced one way or we're going to be influenced the other, and so ultimately there's a choice that must be made. So why is it so important for us to do so? Well, I want us to understand surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people is an incredible source of comfort. In the book of Proverbs again, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The way that this is given to us, the vernacular that's used here, the point is made, is that in the good times and the bad times, a friend loves at all times, is always there, is always ready, is always prepared to comfort. In the very next chapter, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This kind of friend, the one who is there in the good and in the bad, is the kind of friend that each and every one of us needs. That when things are going very well for us, they're right there with us, cheering us on. But when things are going poorly for us, they're right there with us, picking us up. We can surround ourselves with people that cheer us on all the time. But when we need to be picked up, they're nowhere to be found. And if that's the case, who's going to be there? But if I choose to surround myself with the kind of people that's going to be there at all times, what an incredible source of comfort that really is. But not just that, it's the counsel that we get. The incredible source of counsel that we get. We made mention already of the story in the pages of the Old Testament of Rehoboam who needed wise counsel but surrounded himself with the wrong kinds of people, and he got selfish, yes man kind of counsel. And the destruction that ensued because of that. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The kind of counsel that we need in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart. The sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. This is the one passage this week that really has struck me the most and kind of stuck in my mind, mainly because of the end of that. Just the phrase that's used, the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. We don't use that phrase in this way so often. We almost always use the idea of something that's hearty when it comes to a plate of food, right? At least maybe I'm the only one that uses it that way, right? Because you've got a big stew that's been made and it's just full of, I mean, big chunks. I'm not talking diced up little mushy stuff, but I'm talking big chunks of potatoes and carrots and meat. And you look at that thing and you're like, man, there's something. That is a hearty stew. The proverb writer here tells us that, man, the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. Not anything fluffy. Not anything just on the surface, but something that is there, deep, that can help. Surround ourselves with these kinds of people because it's the kind of comfort we're looking for. It's the kind of comfort that we're looking for and counsel that we're looking for. But ultimately, it comes back to where we were towards the beginning. We have to choose carefully. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And we think about this passage and we think about this verse, and it gives us this morning, in the few minutes that we have to open up God's word, something very basic and easy to think about. That yes, our young people need to be considering. But even us older folks need to be considering as well. To choose carefully who we surround ourselves with. To choose carefully who we regard as a friend. Maybe that's the better way to say that. To choose carefully who we regard as a friend. One final passage in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, Jesus himself in the pages of the New Testament. What greater friend could there be than Jesus himself? What greater one to surround ourselves with than Jesus himself? And he says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. It is the love that we have for Jesus, the obedience that we showcase for him, that ultimately leads to a relationship with him, one in which he makes reference to as friendly. And as we're bringing this thought down to a close this morning, it gives us that opportunity to consider who it is that we're surrounding ourselves with, certainly here in this world and the people that we do so, but ultimately what makes the most difference is whether or not we choose to surround ourselves with God. And ultimately that comes down to obedience. And Keith is going to lead us in a song of encouragement, and it gives each and every one of us an opportunity to begin to consider our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus. And if we have chosen to be with him or if we have chosen not to be with him, and you may be here this morning and you may know that you need Jesus. You need that sacrifice. You need his blood to wash your sins away. And we're going to sing this song of invitation, and it'll give you an opportunity to consider that and an opportunity to respond to that. Or maybe there's some other way that we can help you this morning with your relationship with Jesus. He is here. He is pleading with you to choose him. If we can help you, let us know as we stand and as we sing.